This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dadley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamblett, Michael Sidgwick. Here's a look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Hamblett and Sidgwick to look ahead to the final episode of old NXT. Hamblett, of course, the revamp comes next week, along with Index's wedding. We haven't really had a chance to get your thoughts on this change, this impending change, and, of course, the new NXT logo. How are you feeling, Hamblett?
Amazing. What is with the about the old miserable skull chromatic Triple H abomination disappearing about as quick as it's arrived that we got earlier this year? And indeed, this vision of NXT that has been warped, it's been defeated in a war, it's been twisted and dragged a long way away from what it was, letters of which I was as loyal to as anybody. That's all past tense, and that's okay. Like, hot streaks cannot last forever and never last forever in wrestling, and that's okay. It was good, it was fun, and it's gone. And it's been gone for ages, and I'm all in favour of this potential hideous new product that Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard are going to book, because at least it's different. That logo's class. Like, when has WWE going blisteringly neon while all the cool wrestlers wrestle on TNT? When has that ever been a bad thing? Like, this, like, speaks to the new generation fan at the core of my heart. And like, I don't even mind eating some of these words in a few weeks when new NXT is like a dreadfully boring show. What the frig is it now? A dreadfully boring show? So can we have a dreadfully boring show with brighter colours instead? Like, this is a sideways move, leaning ever so slightly. And I mean, the gradient is so gentle, but ever so slightly leaning upwards. Stop you whinging and actually think about what you complain about if you don't like this. I don't get the negativity towards this at all. A good move. Like, if we're talking about the last CWC NXT, like, that's throwing babies in the air, like street parades, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I welcome all of this.
How are you feeling about saying goodbye to the final iteration of this NXT?
I said goodbye to this iteration of NXT in 2019, at least. By 2017, 2018, I'd stopped watching the TV show religiously. I kind of knew what it was. It was and it's ironic that people are mad online talking about how AEW does this. So I understand that people might consider me a hypocrite, but, you know, AEW is actually great. NXT by 2018, had become like a soulless pop facilitator that had descended into hollow critical acclaim pursuits that manifested on takeovers as wonderful stuff worthy of said critical acclaim. But my God, did they very carefully and cynically calibrate the entire show to get there. I realized, like, the thing about NXT is that all along, has NXT, or possibly in 2015, had the same glow that AEW has now? But even then, in the back of your mind, you knew it was kind of naive to think, oh, it's going to change everything. And he kind of knew, oh, it's a great version of WWE, but it's not quite what I get or what I'm after. And I said goodbye to NXT a long time ago. And I went through this last week on the Future of NXT podcast, which you can listen to on your feeds wherever you get your podcasts from for more in-depth moans from Michael Sidgwick.
Yeah, exciting to see a Vince McMahon-produced NXT and how that appears.
Indeed. Those reports have been apparently somewhat exaggerated. However, he's basically just delegating. It's not going to be Triple H's thing anymore. You can tell that from the logo. You can tell that from its hilarious failure. The subsequent report is Dave Meltzer has revealed that it's a bit premature to say he's going to be actually sat in the chair week to week, but big picture, recruitment, direction, that's all going to be Vince and Bruce. And that's all that matters.
I'd like
there's like a trailer where you can see the new logo flash up and then you get this, like, it's, I don't know, it's like artist impression or whatever.
Yeah.
You see like dribbles of it. Like, it looks like wrestling meets soft play. Like, just call it Lucha Overground and get on with it. Like, I cannot wait to see what, like, something off the set of an early 90s, like, children's TV show when they still have money to spend on those things. Like, how is that not better than what we've been watching, like, for the... I don't even want to just say since the CWC, pretty much since the start of the pandemic. Like, NXT without Full Sail, like, where it was pretty stark how far the product had fallen when it didn't have those fans elevating it beyond its status. And it's like, I don't mind taking, like, I've pinned a lot of, like, the ills of NXT in the last few months on the CWC specifically, but, like, it was only a minor step up from a completely empty building that it was in the pandemic. The presentation of this show has been wretched for ages.
We'll talk more about this, Amphlett, but do you think that there's going to be a sort of sweeping change? I'm not suggesting it's going to go full WCW, strip all the titles, but there are two championship matches tonight. If you're going to start a new era, then you may see some changes, perhaps.
Yeah, that's... that adds a bit of heat, I guess, and a bit of spark to the title matches tonight. But I'm not so sure that... I don't want to sound like I'm playing chicken with them, daring them to do it. I think it's quite hard to do those sweeping changes unless you have a Nitro like that one in April 2000 and you pretty much eviscerate the entire roster if you do it as they did then. Let's just assume, you know, and we'll get into it, but like, let's just assume that like MSK were to retain tonight. You make them look like a couple of dweebs if you send them out there to just give over their belts at the start of next week's broadcast because things are new. This arbitrary new boss has come in and said, well, you can't have the titles anymore. That's not to say they won't get beat by 2 6'5" lads that we don't yet know the names of. That could happen. You know, there could be one night where there's several results that you can read a lot into. But I still think it's got to, at least in the very short term, it's got to play like a wrestling show, regardless of what it probably very quickly turns into once they've really got their hands on the wheel.
I think MSK retain tonight. They're defending against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. A, because I think the big match is still, I know I'm biased with this, but I still think MSK versus Grizzled Young Veterans 2 is genuinely a sort of takeover-worthy match, and who knows what
there's that does. There's a takeover, brother.
Yeah, who knows what that's going to look like going forward. But also, MSK sort of embody the new look of NXT. Do you see them retaining tonight, Sidge?
I do, because it's not as if it's MSK versus 2 6'5" lads, as Hansel points out, like, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, great workers though they are, or great wrestlers though they are very much in the spirit of the old NXT that Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, and Bruce Pritchard despise.
Mm.
They don't have a particularly vivid TV presence or a TV look. I think Vince McMahon would think they are both. I think Vince McMahon would think that Danny Burch is incredibly dull, an incredibly dull promo, wrestler, whatever. I don't particularly like engage me, but you know, in this tag act at its peak, great wrestler, physical, whatever. I think Logan, I think Vince would find him amusing.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely think he would look at those fire up spots that he does, his sort of boundless physical charisma, and think he would be great doing slapstick. We see this guy. Such like at his peak, I haven't seen this from Lorcan in a long time. But in Lorcan, they've got a guy who just doesn't know his own weaknesses, more brains and dumb jock energy than sense. Just this wonderful idiot who will throw himself around and use it as a weapon, knowing that if I put 5% more damage on my opponent than myself, so be it. The way he moves around, Vince McMahon will look at that and think, oh, that's great stuff, pal. But can you, you know, do it in a bowl of custard or whatever? So that is the fate of Virgin Lorcan. MSK are way more. I expect MSK to continue to be very heavily featured on this new NXT.
Mm. On the other side of things, Hamlet, we've got Io Shirai and Zoe Stark, the odd couple, you know, it's their thing of NXT. They're taking on Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter. I think it's harder to call this because they've been heading in a very specific direction with these two. And I don't know why I'm going to say wacky fun that the new logos seem to suggest does seem to fit Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter a bit more. And they've, you know, they've earned this shot rather than MSK, who sort of said, oh, no, only Lorcan and Danny Burch just sort of deserve this because they never lost the titles. Is there a chance of a title change in that one for you, Hamlet?
I think there is. On the new NXT, I understand all titles will be defended on trapezes or trampolines. So Casey Catanzaro and Caden Carter are sort of perfect for that. it's a way to start this new era. But to sort of like build on what Cedric was saying about MSK, again, the challengers are kind of custom built for a brighter, flashier NXT anyway. Catanzaro especially, they've enjoyed using her in Royal Rumbles for that reason. So Vince McMahon or Bruce Pritchard or whoever, they've had eyes on her a few times to know what it is that she offers.
Vince won't remember that.
Sorry?
Vince won't remember that.
No, I don't know. Like, what was that like really cool thing where she sort of upside down crab walked herself back onto the post? Like, you might have a sort of a vague memory of something audacious like that. But they're like, I think they probably offer just as much in that sense as Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. It's whether or not whoever's going to be taking the reins from Triple H care about seeing through this feud. Like, if we're analysing, as we try to, analysing this as a weekly TV product, and now all things are being equal, you'd be looking to a takeover or a big event where Stark and Shirai have the match. But is that even a payoff they're interested in now? Might they just keep the belts and to, you know, assume status quo for the time being and have a bit of a think when everyone's settled in new spots? I could see the title change because I think the Shirai Stark, oh, they just can't get along. She can't win any respect. I think it's already completely out of steam. So, and the belts are valueless. So just take the belts off them and try and get that match done while you show, while there's people there that might have a say in how that match goes. I don't have high hopes for Shirai and Stark if Bruce Pritchard's controlling it. So maybe get to that one ASAP. And yeah, sod it, put the belts on the gymnasts.
I've got no idea. Match quality-wise, you know, might be fair. I think MSK versus Lorcan and Burch could be fantastic, by the way. Fantastic in theory, the CWC atmosphere just prohibits anything being fantastic. It has to be fantastic to get over in there. Shirai and Stark, I'm not being funny. Like, I don't know why they've made Stark do this. She hasn't got the personality for this role. She's floundered in it. And if there's one thing you can't do when you're under the purview of Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard, it's have no personality. And Zoe Stark's got precious little of it. I think they will be dumbfounded that this person has been on television. I'm not being, not trying to be unduly harsh there. If you go back and listen to all the audio we've put down on NXT, I've raved about her physical charisma.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the credibility of her work and how, like, proper, impactful everything looks. But it's a TV jump off the page personality. Vince McMahon is in the entertainment business. We know this. I think he's going to look and just be, what? Paul, what have you been doing? Like, you know, like a really disappointed dad who sees you just do something weird when you're a kid. It's like, what are you doing?
What is going on in here?
What is... Paul? What's this? I don't want to be harsh on Zoe Stark, but like, I mean, how are
Paul, we're going to have to...
How many people have been in a fantasy land for the past 18 months of NXT? A really solid show. It sucks. It's been sucking. And, you're lying to yourself. And the truth is going to come out in about 2 or 3 weeks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right. Let's get into what I know you and I are most... We're really excited about the Bachelor and Bachelorette Party, Stag and Hen 2, whatever you want to call it. But before we get to that, Sige, let's talk about the best debut ever that is coming your way tonight, Michael Hampley. It's been teased. I'm not sure if you were watching the one where Boa got beat because he got distracted by his own
manager.
Well, anyway... decided that they're gonna she's gonna show the 1,000-year-old dragon lady is gonna show them how it's done. Mia Ying's in-ring debut tonight, Sige. I know you cannot wait for this.
I absolutely love this, man. It's the last version of something that NXT has done to its detriment. But for old time's sake, just for old time's sake, let's do a little bit of the counter-programming with which we turned heel and made everyone resent us because we looked like little winnets hanging out of the arse of All Elite Wrestling. Guys, we've just... Oh, God. What is it, Road Dogg? They've got Danielson, guys. They've got the American Dragon. What have we got that can compete with that? Well, Daniel Bryan's 40, all right? Why don't you add another 960 years of experience and ring general
momentum
and momentum on top of that, we'll debut our dragon lady. I love the still fighting for this title energy that Triple H has exuded throughout the literal mewling death throes of this version of NXT. He had a 2 out of 3 falls match with Adam Cole involved. He's had Imperium on telly. He's got Paige and Logan in a tag team title match. Like, he's really liking his manufactured intensity. And now, what is it? You want no one under 30? You suck it! Here's someone who's 970 years older than that. What I love about this is that it's total Bray Wyatt energy. And I love this. This is our credit voices of wrestling. They call it, Hampful will hate this. We've got two nicknames for NXT. Yellow Raw. Or Poppy Raw, where they're basically just saying that NXT's Raw, basically. And this has got proper Raw Bray Wyatt energy. This is an entity that was trained in the ways of combat by a dragon, is literally 1,000 years old, is a mystical supernatural being with the ability to transform people into killers if they do not meet his ridiculously high standards of what it means to be a combat athlete, and she can summon smoke and inspire fear with just the tiniest
poisonous mist,
the tiniest glimpse of color within those eyes under a fringe, and she's going to grab a headlock, do a wrestling hold. Like, she is going to have to wrestle like Volta. Volta's the only guy in, and he's like, Volta's got such a fearsome aura about him, and his work looks so unbelievably painful and dominant. If she can work like Volta, then he's the only guy who can pull off such a ridiculously lofty gimmick. And I'm thinking she's going... What if she does a shock kick out face?
There's 1,000-year-old hands.
What if she stands with a little withered 1,000-year-old skeletal hands? This is going to be piss funny. And like, we're being facetious because it's a ridiculous gimmick, but the investment put in all this, remember the months of vignettes and little cool art, quote unquote, they've tried to do what AEW did with Orange Cassidy. When it was like they drip fed you the little cameos, the little hands in the pockets, the odd dive. He was in the bathroom stall and Santana feared him in that angle from 2019. They've tried to do the same approach with bit by bit, bit by bit. Oh, come on, please let tonight be the night. And everyone's and everyone's thinking, oh, I don't watch the show anymore, brother. But they're thinking, please let them think tonight's going to be the night. And brother, tonight's the night. And no one cares.
Wasn't there like a sneering story from, I don't know who it was, like a shareholder or a company insider says something, AEW, they only book kids. At least we've got 1,000-year-olds on our show. As far away from that as possible. So did you say as well, Boa lost?
Yeah.
Boa lost, having been distracted.
To like an enhancement talent, if I remember right.
Yeah, to someone you've never heard of. Boa lost after either, and it was so confusing, either Mai Ying intentionally distracted him, or he was too slow to receive some symbolic instruction with the hand, and he spent about 10 minutes going, I don't know what you're talking about here. I know, I don't want to do. And then he got rolled up. I didn't know if it was a turn. I didn't know if it was just making him look like an idiot. Honestly, this is going to be piss funny tonight. You know what? They're going to make it boring. That's what pisses me off about.
They better not.
They are going to make this boring somehow.
So they've got like a 1,000-year-old dragon ghost. He's coming in. I know this is her official debut, but effectively with a 50-50 record as well. Like, her 1,000 years of experience aren't necessarily driving her protégés to great success. So she's lost a bit of credibility. It's all really silly. They've had hypnotic mist in the face so far. That's been one of her powers. They've got lots of goo spare, and that'll be getting you week, like all that sort of stuff. It's, look, I have always said this, Sidgwick used to have conversations over the desk about Bray, same applies as I always said, a bunch of weird esoteric imagery and evil staring doesn't make a raven, and I feel so exactly then,
you're not allowed to bury him for being a billionaire, which he's got no hold over.
Exactly the same about me, and that, like, I've always felt that, and I feel she's going to fail with that tonight.
I can't wait for this. I'm really excited.
You're not going to shag you, mate. You're going to shag me.
Right.
I'd have to get him out of you first.
Let's talk Kaylee Ray versus Ember Moon, though, because this on paper could be a sensational match, Hamflet. Kaylee Ray obviously came out. I'm not sure if you saw after Raquel Gonzalez retained the NXT Women's Championship. They've done a great job, in fairness to NXT, of building her up. They showcased like footage, and Raquel Gonzalez put her over in promos, and they've talked about, you know, her amazing record over in NXT UK, of course. And Ember Moon effectively called her out and said, you know, if she wants to go at me, because Kaylee Ray sort of slagged off everyone in the women's division in a little promo that she, or an interview that she did. Like, the perfect first match, potentially, for her here, Hamflet.
I hope so. I love Kaylee Ray. It's a bit like her getting off NXT UK now is a bit like escaping the Titanic and landing on that piece of wood that Kate Winslet is already on. So, you know, my hopes are not high for her, but I just really like watching her wrestle. She probably should have been on real NXT back when real NXT still meant something. But she had that title reign on, you know, in NXT UK that was a bit like Walter's, really long, but not prestigious, because what does it really represent? What does it really mean? I know you're beating people and stuff, but there's just...
If you beat dude rap, come on.
Title itself isn't prestigious, even if the odd great match is. You know, I thought both Mako matches were tremendous. She was very occasionally, I will give her this, on a show with virtually no reason to watch, she was very occasionally like a destination wrestler for that show. And it, like, hard to get over there. Great as a sort of a cameo performer in NXT's probably last semi-hot streak in 2019. So, yeah, I welcome this. We've said before that Ember Moon's sort of in the perfect spot for her now at this point. She can be there as somebody relatively credible to beat, but not somebody that's going to feel buried in defeat. So, yeah, I think this will be of a decent standard, but... Will it matter next week? Is she a Vincent Bruce wrestler? Like, that's the question hanging over all of these guys, isn't it? We're not going to know until we see. Like, great now. If NXT was what it was, she'd probably be getting fast-tracked to Raquel Gonzalez. But it's all up in the air, isn't it?
I'm expecting a very good match.
Mm.
They did a good job, as we've said, of building Kaylee Ray. Ember Moon is the perfect person to beat. In theory, it's like, who cares? Not that many people care about NXT. Therefore, beating someone on this freezing cold show just doesn't mean as much as it used to, no matter how respected said scalp is. Look, I'm expecting like a 3.5 to 3.75 star match at its absolute best delivery. And you just don't know what they're going to think of Kaylee Ray. It's like, you can't emotionally invest in something that's literally on its deathbed as we speak. That's not the time to fall in love with something. In fact, that's how things rich. And you try, you know, get some pennies off it. Then I would suggest the very last time to emotionally invest in anything is when it's about to die.
Mm.
You need that, like, you know, in your youth when you marry someone. In your kids, have literally just been born. And something's about to die. That is the last time you go, see how this plays out.
But again, there's another really good match on the cards tonight, Sage, in Carmelo Hayes versus Santos Escobar. Although I don't see this going to a finish.
Has this got ramifications on young Carmelo's chances to actually, you know, cash in his championship opportunity?
I don't think so. I think it's the fact that he was talking about, he won the breakout tournament, Hanford. He won the breakout tournament and obviously got the opportunity to pick a title he's going after. And he said he was going to sort of wait and see. And in that backstage interview, Escobar and his cronies walked up and went, don't even think about the North American title. That's his sort of thing. So that's what we're getting tonight. And I think
it's no probably, finish.
No finish. And, you know, it's, you've still got all the stuff with Hit Row. And
Hit Row. I'm going to interfere. Move on. That's all. Move on. Neither of them are 6'5".
I was taken aback by Carmelo Hayes winning.
Won
the breakout tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're trying to tell the story of he can beat the big guys. Which is heavily ironic in about 3 months.
I was going to say, that's going to be past tense like everything else.
Yeah, he beat Odyssey Jones in the final, who's off on the stag do, which we'll get to in a second, by the looks of things. But yeah, what do you reckon? Any finish to this, or do you think it's just going to be interference central?
Yeah, no finish. No, like, no need to even provide one, let's be honest. This Hit Row, by your mention of Hit Row, my assumption is that, like, things must continue between these two stables. This is all still going on. Nothing feels particularly paid off between Hit Row and Legado del Fantasma. So I let them get to that as well. I like, are they going to preview matches for this new NXT next week? Like, you know, is this, can we expect any of these things to feed into feuds or programs so that we've got like things to talk about next week? Or is it just going to be like, you know, like Poppy Raw or whatever, where it's just like, well, nothing. We're going to have nothing, no matches to preview, but tuners, join us for NXT. Is it going to be like Raw and SmackDown in that regard? Like, can you feed any, like, as we would have said previously, for all that NXT is often really dull, typically it books in such patterns that you can kind of see where wrestlers going from A to B to C before we lead to the big match. Is that even the case anymore? Like, will this Hit Row Phantasm thing just be dropped cold because they can't be arsed with it?
That's a very good point, yeah. The only thing we know that is next week, of course, is the wedding. Index's wedding is next week, and as a result of that, the Stag and Hen Do, or Bachelor and Bachelorette parties, take place tonight. A final chance for some patter. I mean, you look at that lineup for certainly Dexter Lumis's. I haven't seen the photo for Indy Hartwell's, but you would assume Candice LeRae is going to be also. That'd be entertaining. But for Dexter Lumis, you've got Odyssey Jones, as I said. You've got Johnny Gargano, and of course, you've got Cameron Grimes, along with a whole host of others. Like,
didn't he try to get zombies to kill Cameron Grimes last year? Why is he going on a stag? And, you know, people were saying, like, that's a shame. People, dickheads, are going on, like, NXT of 2015. Vince McMahon just decided to go, oh, I've seen this for the first time. I don't like what they're doing. Oh, no, Vince, don't take this away from us. That's not what's getting taken away from you. Cameron Grimes was almost murdered by Dexter. Well, you know, you have to bring that up.
But you have to invite someone who's got a bit more money in case you don't want a stag do.
I've been involved with cheapskate bastards on stag do's in my time. Do not worry about that.
The ones that don't buy rounds. I don't even care what the activity is. They're just
mate.
On a stag do just not to buy the rounds.
Just even though it seems like daunting, and there's a lot of people and you're thinking, is he gonna just get a kitty? Get a little bun bag kitty. That's what we've always done.
Yeah.
You know, lads.
So yeah, but they it would actually have to actively try hard with all the personalities involved and this setup that we moaned before about, you know, AEW not doing this for Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford. This should be entertaining tonight, Hamper, both sides.
Yeah, hope so. It's one of the last opportunities, I guess, for NXT to be entertaining, isn't it? People have just about remained invested in this. Cameron Grimes is there to bankroll the quad bike, you know, the whitewater rafting or whatever. I don't know, like Gargano there as a cutting a frustrated figure, I think is like promises quite a lot. But then I don't know if he's straight edge, but he doesn't strike you as a guy that drinks a lot, does he? So it would be quite funny if he got a bit pissed and then it was actually like, you know, arm around the shoulder.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. You know, you finally get him giving in to Dexter Lumis a bit, and then Dexter Lumis still only having the cold stare forward and not giving any of it back. And it's like, no, don't say anything. No, yeah. Like, why not have as much fun as you can get away with, as much fun as Grimes' budget will allow?
I don't know what to think of this. Will it be funny? That's all it is. It's comedy. Will it be funny? Dexter Lumis is not funny. It's not patter. Johnny Gargano's patter. Cameron Grimes's patter.
Indy Hartwell's patter.
Indy Hartwell's patter.
Candice LeRae's patter.
Candice LeRae's patter.
They could go paintballing in the CWC, and that can be why it looks so different.
Yes!
All those neon paintballs splattered all over, and that's why it just stays that way forever.
Ah, that would be nice.
Two in the back of my head.
Everton fans in the crowd, and they're getting right to you.
If I'm trying to think of things they can do, did I see them a picture of them going go-karting as a tease?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'm sure Gargano did like a go-karting thing. Maybe they could do this bit where, you know, like, I love Johnny Gargano to a point. You know, he's a little nerd with like video games and stuff. What if like he's really competitive as he would be, and Dexter Lumis starts to really win the games?
Cameron Grimes plays for NOS on his go-kart.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I've got the thought of like Indy Hartwell for hers. I don't know, maybe it's sort of a last-ditch attempt. Candice LeRae's like, oh, I've got you a lap dance. Got a bloke to come and strip for you. But because all the fun ones are out doing this, and it's like, oh, I need anyone who's a bit fit. LA Knight, and he's just really annoying. And she's like, oh, piss off. And he's just cutting a promo the whole time. Hey, come on, what's wrong with you?
Ahead of becoming like the next NXT champion because he's going to be going to be this massive star now.
Hey, it's the thumbnail for his future. Big arrow, big yellow arrow from dancing on New Hartwell. World champion, baby.
Hey, Austin Aries likes rubbing his crotch in women's faces. So maybe he could make his return to NXT.
And on that note, we'll wrap it up. Very excited to watch the final NXT before new NXT.
I'm being facetious, of course. Austin Aries ain't ever getting a job again.
Let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch, say, you can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. As I said, make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Our Raw review is available right now, and our NXT review and AEW Dynamite preview, including maybe these two gentlemen giving their thoughts on All Out, will be available tomorrow. So subscribe to What Culture Wrestling for that one. But for now, this has been the NXT preview. Enjoy the show tonight. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.